This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
What is going on, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving, a day late. Happy Black Friday. Happy whatever you want to call it. Dan Gross is sitting in for the guys here on this Friday, November the 25th on TMKS, radio-only vehicle. For those that are taking control and flipping around feverishly, looking for the old Yes Network. Nope, just radio today. But we'll keep you company for the next 4 hours, right up until 7 o'clock. Full radio vehicle. Then you get Knicks basketball. Knicks are back home, back from the West Coast. A winning road trip. And they'll try to keep it going against the Portland Trail Blazers tonight at Old Madison Square Garden. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. I am joined today by my pals, Anthony Pusick, Julian Kushnick. They are along for the ride. Anthony is going to provide a star-studded ENN coming up at 6 o'clock.
Ray Rowe.
Keep that tradition going. Yes, but a radio-only vehicle. Buttle at 5:30. Mike Tannenbaum is going to honor his obligation, and why wouldn't he? He'll be on at 5 o'clock a little bit later on. And yes, of course, we're keeping our eyes on a little soccer event happening in old Qatar. In the World Cup, the game of all games, at least that's how it's been built for the last few months, but you got the United States, you've got England, and if you're just getting in your car and if you haven't been paying attention to the game, they're just about to start the second half, and here's about the best way that I could put it. If you want to make the correlation to yesterday's Giants game, it kind of would probably follow the same script at halftime, slightly. Now, the Giants had a lead at halftime yesterday. The United States doesn't have a lead, but here's the way I'll put it. At halftime of the Giant game yesterday, if you said, we'll take 30 more minutes of that, you probably would have been satisfied, and you probably would have walked off the field with a different result. If you're the United States, you say, I'll take another 45 minutes of what we saw in the first half here, because the score is nothing-nothing. All right, nobody scored, and I think the second half of that first half, from probably like the 25-minute mark on, I think the United States was actually the better team. They got into more of an attacking mode. First 20 minutes or so, the U.S. was back on their heels, and I thought it was going to be like 2 or 3 nothing England. They were playing very tentative, and then they started to be the aggressor, and they had themselves a couple of really quality goal-scoring opportunities. Christian Pulisic hit the crossbar on one of them. So knocking on the door, they look like they belong on the field. Let's put it that way. And, I mean, you got about like 5-6 guys on this United States team that play professionally in the EPL. So, you know, they're kind of familiar with all these dudes on the England side, or most of them for that matter. So we'll see what happens. And why is this one a little bit more important than any other round-robin game or group stage game in the World Cup? Why? Because earlier today you had a little bit of a surprise in the other Group B matchup, because Iran beat Wales. I didn't see what the final – what was the final score in that one, Anthony? It was
2-0.
2-0 Iran. So, remember, England waxed Iran back on Monday. So you're thinking, all right, Iran is the also-ran of the group. I keep saying ran too much. But Iran is the worst team of the group. You think they're just going to finish in last. Wales would be that team with the United States that you'd have to worry about to see who that second team to come out of the group would be into single elimination knockout, assuming that England was going to win the group. So that's why United States tying Wales back on Monday and only settling for that 1 point, you thought it was a missed opportunity, right? You want to put those 3 points in your pocket and move on. Now, you got Wales, who's going to need a miracle to advance. And yes, the U.S. still has to play Iran in their third round robin game, but depending on the result you get today, beating Iran is almost a must. And not just beating Iran, you might have to beat them convincingly to win any type of tiebreaker situation. That's why getting at least a point today would be huge, I think, for this team and their chances of advancing. And that's what you want to do. That's what the goal is. Okay, you qualified, you're back, get out of the group and make it into single elimination knockout alongside what we would like to think would be England. But who the heck knows? That's why they play the game. So we'll keep you posted here. Second half is underway, and if you hear some screaming, you'll know that it's probably something related to the soccer. But you know what? We'll start off with our version of football. And this is the Big Blue Report, which is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And if you want to take, like, all three Thanksgiving games as a whole yesterday, I thought they were pretty good, right? I mean, one score games, even though the Giants gave you the backdoor cover there with that late touchdown, which really didn't mean anything. But the Buffalo game came down to the wire. pretty much so did the Minnesota-New England game. And how about the Minnesota Vikings giving Jet fans a gift on Thanksgiving Day, as now the Jets woke up this morning back in playoff position in the AFC. With the Patriots losing, now the Jets have to go out there and take care of business on Sunday, of course, against the Chicago Bears, and we'll have plenty to say about them moving forward as the Mike White era take two begins for the Jets against Chicago at what I guess is going to be a soggy MetLife Stadium coming up on Sunday afternoon here. But as far as the Giants are concerned, look, it's a tale of two halves yesterday. First half, you took a lead to the locker room. Offense was moving the football. I thought they displayed some nice rhythm. You know, a lot of good that you could take from that performance yesterday in the first half, especially considering the Giants were the MASH unit, walking wounded, dealing with injuries left and right. You know, and I know that you don't get style points and there's no moral victories and that type of thing, but, I mean, at halftime of that game yesterday, while the Jonas Brothers were doing their thing down there at Jerry World, and I'm stuffing my face with dessert, I'm thinking, boy, this Brian Daboll guy again. You know, you might as well just start engraving his name on the Coach of the Year trophy, because he's got this team playing. Like, the Giants have no excuse and no reason to be in this game. Like, if there ever was a team that you give a pass, right, that they're overwhelmed, that they're overmatched, that, you know, maybe it's not their day, that would have been the Giants with all the guys that they were missing in that lineup yesterday. And then the second half kicked off, and it kind of morphed into that type of game, really on both sides of the football, because offensively they couldn't get anything going. Nothing whatsoever. And it was kind of similar to last week, because the Giant offense couldn't get anything going in the second half against the Detroit Lions, and the same thing held true against the Cowboys yesterday. And it's a hard team to get to win, and it's a hard team to play winning football when Saquon Barkley is not playing lights out. And that is something that we're going to have to discuss here this afternoon, because for the second straight game, Saquon Barkley wasn't a factor. And it's not just about the fourth one play that he couldn't corral, and yeah, Daniel Jones could have placed the ball better out in front of him. I get it, but it goes beyond that. You know, Saquon Barkley has been brilliant this year as a whole. Absolutely brilliant. You want to give him MVP votes? Fine. I'm not going to object. But last two games, he was out of sight, out of mind. I mean, last two games, he's run for 61 yards total against two bad run defenses. Lions' run defense is putrid. Cowboys, yeah, they could get after it. They could rush the passer. Micah Parsons is a pain in the neck. He showed it again yesterday. But the Cowboys can't stop the run. And Saquon just can't get anything going on the ground. And that is imperative for this Giants offense. You know, the Giants don't have a quarterback that could go out there, throw the ball 40, 50 times a game, and you expect to lead you to victory. That's not what Daniel Jones is. Not to mention the fact you're missing how many guys on that offensive line. All right, so if you want to sit here and, you know, start to check off the reasons as to why the Giants and Saquon are not having that same success anymore running the football. Okay, start there. Start up front on that offensive line. You got a new left guard. You got a new center. You got a new right tackle. Andrew Thomas is out there. I don't know what the hell he's got. I mean, I wish him well, but you give him credit. He missed practices earlier in the week because he was ill. He's doing his post-game chat with the media in the locker room wearing a mask, right? And he gutted it out, but he wasn't 100%. So if the offensive line is not out there equipped to run block for you and is unable to open up holes, well, that's going to make it more difficult on Saquon Barkley, especially if you're Dan Quinn in the Cowboys defense and you're mapping out a game plan as to how we shut down this Giants offense yesterday. I mean, think about it. You're looking at the cast of characters that the Giants have, especially at the wide receiver position, tight end. I mean, who's scaring you? Imagine that. You go into a game planning against the Giants, and you say, boy, in the passing game, we can't let Darius Slayton beat us. You know, like, what is this, the fourth preseason game that we're game planning for? Like, think about that. We're 11 weeks into the NFL, and you're worrying about shutting down Darius Slayton in the passing game. And look, Darius Slayton's a nice player. He does, you know, he goes above and beyond, made some big catches again yesterday. But Darius Slayton is not supposed to be your number one target in the passing game if you're a good team and a team that has designs on going to the playoffs. That's not what this thing is supposed to be about. So, of course, the other team is just going to zero in on Saquon Barkley, as they should. And at least yesterday, again, There was no room to maneuver. None. And I know that if you're a Giant fan, you don't want to hear it. Like, I'm looking at this thing as glass half full. You're probably looking at it as, all right, they lost. Not good enough. Brian Daboll's looking at it as, we lost the game. It's not good enough. You know, Daboll, after the game, he wasn't taking any sort of victory laps or anything like that, or trying to take the good out of it, moral victories or things like that. He was saying, hey, man, we got to be better. We got to be better. Here was Daboll today, as a matter of fact, on his conference call the day after the game, and he was asked if he's looking big picture at what the Giants have accomplished this year, still being 7-4, despite the fact that they've lost the last two games.
The whole season, obviously, is in front of you right now, and we have a long way to go, obviously, the rest of December here and the early part of January. So we have to focus on getting ready to play Washington. But you're sitting at 7-4. You put yourself in a position to play meaningful games in December, which is important. You know, last year, I think we were 7-6 after 13 games. So, look, anything can happen in this league. I've said this before. It's a humbling league. You can be on the top of the mountain one week and, you know, fall off the next week. And the biggest thing for us is to remain consistent in the things that we try to do each week to give ourselves the best chance to win. Do they always work? No. But I think a consistent approach is the best approach.
Cowboys are a more talented team than the Giants. Nobody's going to sit here and try to convince you otherwise. You can't. You know, they had seven starters yesterday, talking about the Giants, seven starters that were essentially signed off the street since the season started. Seven. You know, that's kind of stuff that the Jets did all season last year, but they weren't winning games. You know, they had a rough go of it, but they had to kind of just like piece and patchwork this thing together all throughout the year because of injuries and you name it. So still, if you want to take that proverbial step back, and say the Giants got six games left. You're 7-4. That's a much better place to be than probably a lot of us thought the Giants were going to be on Thanksgiving. But now you've lost two in a row for the first time all season. You're starting to see some of those cracks. Right? You've lost three out of the last four games. If you look at the losses one by one, at least during this stretch, for example. All right, the Seattle game before the bye, we chalked that up as, you know, you're going to have one of those games. The Giants are this club that's feisty, that plays one-score games. More often than not, they found a way to prevail. And eventually, you're not going to be able to find the solution to victory. You know, Richie James had a couple of the miscues out there in Seattle going into the bye. Tough place to play. It happens. You move on. Then they came back after the bye. You had the Texans. All right. They didn't exactly blow them out. They did what the Giants usually do. They played a tight game, ran the football, tried to limit the mistakes, and they beat the Texans. Back to the formula. The Lions game going in, what did we say? It had to follow the same script as the Texans game. Don't sleep on them. Don't get caught napping. Don't look ahead to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And I don't know if they necessarily got caught looking ahead. What happened was Giants came out and I thought we're playing pretty well the first quarter and a half of that Lion game. Jones throws that interception on a great play by Aiden Hutchinson, who drops back into coverage, picks him off. Detroit takes it into the end zone. Next drive, Detroit takes it into the end zone. Giants offense was fractured the rest of the day, right? I mean, it happens. And then yesterday, they were just completely undermanned. I thought they played a good two quarters of football. But then that defense, apart from the offense, the defense had no solutions in the second half. And if you want to get on Wink Martindale, okay, if you want to get on Wink, and I get it, Wink has been great. Okay, you want to sit here and talk about, you know, assistant coaches of the year? I think they give out that award. Wink Martindale should be in the discussion for what he's done to this severely undermanned Giant defense all year. But if you know anything about Wink, and if you know about the way that he attacks the opposing team, what does he do? We've seen it already for 11 games. The dude blitzes when he gets off the bus. As soon as he gets off the bus. You saw it in Baltimore when he was down there. Same thing happening with the Giants. The problem, though, okay? The problem is sometimes a coach could be too stubborn, almost to the detriment of his own team. And I think that happened a little bit to the Giants yesterday, at least in the second half. Because you're going into the game without your corners, Adoree Jackson and Fabian Moreau. Those are your starters. Those are your guys. You got dudes that are basically off the street that you're starting at corner yesterday. Guys that maybe you don't think, you know, the Darnay Holmeses of the world, the Nick McClouds of the world. If you keep dialing up the blitz, which they did, You leave your corners out on an island. You know, if it's Fabian Moreau, and Fabian Moreau wasn't even supposed to play that big of a role. He's actually been a pleasant surprise for him. But if it's Dory Jackson, guy you're paying all that money to, all right, you expect them to go out there and to be able to lock down or to at least cover one-on-one. You can't keep asking guys who maybe aren't equipped to play this type of defense that consistently and that regularly to keep going at it time and time again, because what happened in the second half? They got burned. CeeDee Lamb was torching these dudes after a while. So it's like live by the sword, die by the sword. One hand, two hands, it didn't matter. CeeDee Lamb was the best player there in the second half. So that's when, if you're a coach, you got to go to maybe a little bit of an adjustment. You know, why not play a little bit more zone, so to speak? Right? Why not change things up? You can't keep asking your guys to do things that don't play to their strengths. That's what coaching is. Putting your players in a position to be successful where they could be the most successful. And I thought that drive at the second half of the game, to start the second half by the Cowboys, the one that felt like it was never going to end, right? That ultimately they scored. That was like an eight-minute drive. I think that took the wind out of their sails, so to speak. I do. You know, in that fourth and one play, I like the call. You know, Daboll's been aggressive all season long, starting with week one against the Tennessee Titans. Got no problem with it. None whatsoever. Could Daniel Jones have thrown the ball better? Sure. Could Saquon still have caught it? Sure. Do you expect him to catch it? Absolutely. Here was Saquon after the game yesterday, and he said, bottom line, you know what? He's got to do better.
I got to do a better job. I got to go back, watch film, see what I can do better. Probably give you a better answer, but just off the first thought process is, you know, when the running game's not working, it starts with the running back. So I got to be better there, too.
Yeah, he should. He's going to say all the right things. You know, and that's why you give him credit. There's no fracturing of this room. Even when, you know, this is their kind of first case of mild adversity this year. Barkley says, I got to catch the pass. Daniel Jones says, I got to throw it better. Right? Putting it on each other's shoulders. And, you know, by contrast, you saw how things played themselves out across town with the other team and their quarterback and how he handled matters after that game last Sunday. And, you know, perhaps one of the reasons why Jets are going to have a new quarterback on Sunday. Accountability is a big part of this thing. Leadership, that goes a long way. You know, really and truly does. You expect your best players to also kind of be those vocal leaders and the guys that others in that room look to kind of, when things are going tough, right, how are we going to work ourselves out of this, right? How do we move on from it? But, you know, the Barkley thing is interesting because we could sit here and pinpoint a bunch of different factors, right, as to why the production has gone down. I know that he's dealing with a shoulder injury. Right? He's playing hurt. He even said after the game yesterday, I saw him say, you know, we're 11 games into the year. How do you think I feel? Right? You feel like a lot of guys in the NFL do at Thanksgiving. You're beat up. So if you're Saquon Barkley, that's one part of it. But then, of course, you look to the fact that the offensive line is as banged up and in such a fractured state as it is right now. That's also going to be a big reason. The fact that they really can't get any sort of semblance of a dangerous arsenal in the passing game. That also plays a big role into it as well. Like I just got done saying a little while ago, if you're a defensive team or a defensive coach and you're getting ready to game plan against the Giants here in the short term, you're trying to stop down Saquon Barkley. That's what you're doing. You're trying to take him out of the offense. If you shut him down, you think the Giants aren't going to be able to move the ball up and down the field. You know that that's what Washington is going to do when they sit down to look at film for the next game in 10 days. Eagles on down. You know, maybe the fact that you just played this Thursday game, I actually think it could be a positive for the Giants. In the fact that, okay, now you got about a week and a half off, right? You got some downtime. Use that time to get healthy. Get some dudes back, whether it's on the offensive line, whether it's in the secondary. You just got to get healthy. You know, we'll see when Bellinger possibly could get back. They just got to find weapons. And yes, are they still in a good spot? Yeah, they are, but you got to think that the 10 days off should finally help them a little bit. This is a beat-up group. And they're doing this thing now with, like, smoke and mirrors. And if you don't have the manpower and if you don't have the personnel, eventually you're going to get exposed a little bit here. Jahad Ward, speaking, said, you know what? Yeah, we've lost a couple of games in a row, but bottom line is they're going to make the playoffs.
I'm trying to win. You know what I mean? I've been there plenty of times in my career. You know what I mean? One thing about this record, yeah, that look cute. You know what I mean? And that's the stuff that we got to face the adversity of. I don't care about no records. We got to get in the playoffs, and we got to, you know what I mean, try to win some games to get to the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't say Super Bowl. That's kind of like forbidden fruit right there when you're talking about the city. Get to the playoffs first, then you worry about the Super Bowl. How about just win a game first? I know Don had said earlier in the week that he doesn't think the Giants are going to win another game this year. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far because the first half of the game yesterday showed you that this team is not giving up. This team is still extremely well coached. And there's going to be opportunities for them before it's all said and done. You know, they're going to get healthier here. They're going to get some of their guys back. And I do still think that the playoffs are a realistic possibility. And what about Brian Daboll? He was asked about the comments that Jihad Ward made about playing football past the regular season.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just think consistency helps, you know, in the seat that I'm in. Certainly, you don't want to lose games, have bad performances, have bad decisions, have bad play calls. You know, you take a lot of pride in what we do, and we know, just being in this league a long time, you're going to face a lot of this stuff. And it's easy to get down on yourself or get down as a team. And I think the important thing is to just keep the main thing, Ryan, is, you know, what can we do to help improve the results? But again, I have no issues with how these guys prepare, their competitiveness, how hard they work during the week, how hard they play during the game. So I think if you just focus on those things, that takes you each week with a consistent approach. And that's what I believe in. So do I like to lose, or do we like to lose? Hell no. We don't like to lose. But I think that you have to keep the main thing the main thing. And look, every team in this league from the start of training camp on has certain goals they want to achieve. But I think you have to, you know, make short-term goals throughout the season as you go along and be consistent with that.
That's Brian Daboll. I agree. And as a matter of fact, when we come back, I want to hear from the Giant fans at 800-919-3776. Despite the fact that you lost a couple of games here, you know, is your hope starting to waver a little bit? Or do you think this team still has its ticket firmly in grasp to go to the postseason? I do. And like I said, we'll break it down here coming up in just a little bit. But that was the Big Believe Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their six area locations. And also, while we're at it, a thought or two on the quarterback. Because he wasn't bad yesterday by any stretch, right? Wasn't bad. But wasn't good enough to bring that team home a winner. And we're still in an evaluation mode with Daniel Jones. And there have been some things that have crept up over the last couple of weeks, which, believe it or not, I think do provide a valuable resource when trying to make that evaluation for the long term. So we'll talk about all that stuff a little bit later on. Mike Tannenbaum will join us at 5 o'clock. Greg Buddle will join us at 5:30, talk a little Jets-Bears and the quarterback switcherooski that they made at Florham Park. We'll do ENN with Anthony coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll give you some NFL picks. Jam-packed TMKS on this day after the big feast. We're with you till 7, then it's Knicks basketball. Dan Grasso in for the guys right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here on 98.7 ESPN. Taking it right up until 7 o'clock. Knicks B-ball. Knicks Blazers. at Madison Square Garden.
Bing bong!
800-919-3776. At Dan Graca, by the way, is where you can find me on Twitter, GRACA. And, you know, today's a great day for a lot of reasons. And, by the way, before I get into that, still scoreless. We are in the 73rd minute. So we are literally 17 minutes or thereabouts. You have to kick in at least, you know, a few seconds minimum for stoppage time, even though we haven't had any glaring stoppages yet. So there's probably going to be minimal, at least up until this point, because I think there was like less than a minute added on even in the first half. We're like 15, 16 minutes away from getting a tie, which, Anthony, everybody and their mother would have signed up for. I think that's correct, right?
Especially after Iran this morning beating Wales. And look, I mean, England's clearly better than the United States. They're more talented. But
clearly,
not if you didn't know soccer, which I'm sure a lot of people now watching it are doing because this is the World Cup and that's when America starts to get interested. The casual fan, I should say. You looked at the United States looks like the better team.
No,
in this
they
game,
do.
Which is
since
pretty
about
crazy.
Since about 25 minutes into the first half, when the United States really started attacking at that point, and into the second half, they came out of the locker room and have not let up. U.S. has been the better team today. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. What, have we played about a half hour, 30 minutes? So for 55 of the 75 minutes so far, the United States have been the better squad. Now you just got to hang on for dear life. Hang on. Get that point. Get that tie. Like, I'd be content right now just even if you want to pull back and get conservative. Like, maybe not being on the attack too much.
Park the bus.
Park the bus, as they say. Exactly.
It also makes the tie against Wales all the more frustrating.
Yes.
Because they probably should have had that game. And then this game, you really wouldn't even... If you get a tie in this game, I think you're probably clinched at that point, if my math is right. But I'm not good at math, so...
Just get to the 90 and get a point. That's all I'm saying. I know it's playing conservative, playing not to lose and all those things, but I think in a round-robin tournament, you can. But that would change, of course, next game against Iran because then you'd have to go for the win. Funny story. So I do this. If you follow me, you probably know I do. One of the things I do for the Jets, I do this podcast. And it gets sent out to, you know, the targeted audience is over in England, in the U.K., because the Jets have a big fan base over there. You know, they have a big territory with the marketing rights and so on and so forth there. So one of the things we did this season over with the Jets on their digital platforms and whatnot was a UK podcast. So I do it with somebody over in London, a guy by the name of Richie Driss. Great dude. You know, he's a TV presenter over there. Met him over the summer, became friends, all that stuff, doing the podcast. And we have been talking about this game, of course, you know, being a huge soccer fan that they are over there and identifying the England-U.S. matchup, and then we were in same group matchup day after Thanksgiving. Like, we have been circling this game for months. Like, we've even, like, been talking about payoff on a bet, you know, with the people, like the listeners with the podcast are tweeting in all these ideas and what we could do to settle the score. And our chances of winning this game and being successful were so unlikely that he actually allowed that if it was a tie, that I would win the bet. So the United States wouldn't even have to win the game. Even if it was a tie, I win the bet. But make a long story short, they've got train strikes going on over in London or in the UK right now. You know, the mass transit system is all messed up. So he had to be like down in London doing some work stuff today. And he's texting me nonstop. Do you believe he can't even watch the game? He's not even watching the game right now because of the train strikes. And the signal is not strong enough where he is to even be able to stream the damn thing on his phone. I feel so bad. So I'm sitting there like texting him updates and everything. I'm like, dude, you're not going to believe this. But like, we've been the better team all afternoon, as crazy as it sounds. And here we are now, 77 and a half minutes in. It's nothing, but the U.S. has been the better squad. He's like pulling his hair out right now because he hasn't even been able to witness this stuff. So I don't know. Maybe we'll hear from him at some point over the next few hours if he could find his way back home and, you know, get in an acceptable cell service. That would be pretty fun. But anyways, we're talking Giants. Aftermath of yesterday's 8-point defeat at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys. So you look at this team right now. You're 7-4, right? And the way the NFC is stacked up with the playoffs, I still think you're in good shape. You know, I know you may not feel so confident because you've lost two straight games. I still think they're okay. Because even way back, the target number was 10. That's the one you wanted to get to. So you could still get to 10, and all that entails is playing 500 ball the rest of the way. You got six, win three. All right, it's not going to be easy, because maybe a month ago, you looked at those Washington games on the schedule, and you probably just chalked them up to victories because the Commanders were playing poor football. Now, under Taylor Heinicke, you know, they're believing a little bit. They've won five out of their last six. So you can't just necessarily chalk those up and say, oh, yeah, those are going to be the wins for the Giants. Washington at home, Philadelphia at home, at Washington, at Minnesota, who you know could score a boatload of points in that building against maybe a subpar defense, Indianapolis at home, and then at Philadelphia. And you don't know what that game is going to mean to Philly. I tend to think that the Eagles will have the division wrapped up by then, even though the Cowboys are only a game behind them in the win column. But I just think by the time you get to week 18, the Eagles will have the division wrapped. Maybe they have home field wrapped up in the NFC, and if that's the case, you probably see a lot of backups, right? You might not see Jalen Hurts. You might not see those wide receivers, because that's the one area in particular with this Giants defense, as banged up as it is, and especially with the secondary. When you look at what Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and everybody did to them in the second half through the air, you look at some of these upcoming opponents. All right, Washington, you know, Taylor Heinicke to Terry McLaurin, you know, that's actually been a combo that has paid dividends in recent weeks. Philadelphia, don't have to tell you about A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, everything that they're doing with the Birds. That's a dangerous passing attack. Minnesota, I mean, maybe only the best receiver in the NFL right now in Justin Jefferson and what he's doing. So next few weeks, that is going to test this team's mettle. That's why it's imperative you get healthy and you get some of these bodies back. I know that Adoree Jackson is 4 to 6 weeks. That was the initial time frame, but just something. You know, even Azeez Ojulari is supposed to, I mean, knock on wood, supposed to be ready when they get back here against Washington in 10 days. They think that he's finally ready to rock and roll here. Okay, so you have another edge rusher. The better pass rush you supply, that's less work that your corners are going to have to do. You know, that's really the reasoning behind Wink Martindale and everything he's doing with the blitzing. If you apply heat to the quarterback and you give him less time to scan the field and to see who's open and to maybe go through his progressions and his reads, maybe you don't have your cornerbacks exposed and ask them to do as much. I thought Kayvon Thibodeau, by the way, I thought he had his best game or one of his best games of the season yesterday. Really do. From start to finish, all facets, not just getting after the quarterback, even in the run game, I thought Thibodeau played really, really well yesterday. So even though he doesn't have, like, the sack numbers that blow you away, like maybe Micah Parsons does, I think Kayvon has shown you already this year that he's legit. And that was a good pick by Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. You know, you don't have to worry. Remember all the red flags about Kayvon coming into the draft? And one of the reasons why, you know, people were saying, well, he shouldn't be a top five pick because he's all about flash. He doesn't take football seriously. He takes plays off, blah, 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 blah. You know what? You haven't seen any of that this year. You know, you've seen a dude that can really get after it. Here was Kayvon after the game yesterday talking about the loss to the Cowboys.
You can't have emotions in the sport, right? Emotions will eat you alive. So for us, we just continue to try to, you know, stay poised, stay monotonous, and kind of just keep growing, keep getting better, and just realizing that, you know, things happen and all you can do is rebound, right? You can't do nothing with that game. Just got to flush it and keep going.
It's true. Very true. Now, the other thing is about Daniel Jones. I want to hear from you at 800-919-3776. You could look at this with multiple schools of thought. Because I think squarely, you're in evaluation mode with Daniel Jones still. Right? Aren't we all? I mean, I know that your options are limited. So in a perfect sense, you'd love to say to yourself, all right, great, yeah, well, you're bringing him back next year. And you know what? I wouldn't be opposed to bringing Daniel Jones back. Because I think, by and large, he's played good football this year. He's played winning football. Right? Giants have an inside track to the playoffs. But, there's always a but. If you think that you're looking for a guy who's truly going to be the answer for the next decade, that's supposed to be a guy who, when things break down around him, when maybe things are less than ideal, and I'm talking about offensive line, weaponry, run game support, everything, That guy shakes all that off, and he's able to put the team on his shoulders. And he says, just dial up a play. I'll move the ball up and down the field. I will make it work. Trust me. Believe in me. Have faith. Follow my lead. What's happened the last couple of weeks? Not just because the Giants lost. Not just because they lost. But what's happened in particular? Saquon Barkley hasn't run the ball. Giants have become one-dimensional at best. And I say at best because it's not like the passing game has wowed you all that much in the last two games either. They've become a one-dimensional team with Daniel Jones at the quarterback. And I know that he doesn't have household names at wide receiver. And I know that the offensive line is missing three starters. I get all that stuff. But if you're talking about the greats, truly the greats, I'm not talking Hall of Fame greats. I'm just talking about legit franchise quarterbacks. If you're talking about those guys, if you had that guy in your roster and you had the belief, Giant offense going in the tank the last two games, let's say second half of those games like they did, right? That's the only thing. I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm showing you both sides of the spectrum here. Giant offense got off to a nice start, I thought, against the Lions. Then Jones throws that pick, and then they can't get anything going the rest of the next 2.5 quarters of that game. Yesterday, played a good game in the first half. And then second half, they couldn't get anything going until that final drive, which the game was over at that point. That does you no good. But you're down, what, two scores? Who cares? So all the adversity, all the challenges, all the things that are being thrown at you, you know, I need a guy who's going to be able to lift my team up. I need a guy who's going to be able to say, the hell with that stuff. We got this. You have me. And maybe I'm being a little too harsh and I'm being unfair. Okay, so what? But that's part of the conversation. And look, I am fully behind the Giants bringing back Daniel Jones next year. 1,000% I am. But have I seen enough this year to be able to say, oh yeah, this is my guy for the next 5-6 years? Let's work out the multi-year contract? I can't. I can't just yet. Winning football, just getting to the playoffs, you know, that's not enough. You know, like, and what is the ceiling? Like, what are the expectations? Are we talking about a guy that maybe one day will be a successful, you know, kind of more of an established version of a Ryan Tannehill? Is that what you're looking at? A guy who goes out there and still wins football games on the back of a dynamic, lethal running game, which in Tennessee, of course, is led by Derrick Henry. And if you're a Jet fan, you're rooting for them on Sunday against the Bengals. Giants, of course, with Saquon Barkley. But when things start to break down around you, do you indeed have that guy? 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Take your Giant calls. We'll also look at a couple of those other games on Turkey Day in the NFL, which were pretty exciting. Again, had bearings for the Jets. And I thought it exposed a couple of things about a couple of clubs as well, which we will get into. Dan Grasso. In for the guys here on the Michael Kay Show on this Black Friday, 98.7 ESPN. Stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events each year. So get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundles today. Watch ESPN Originals, the 30 for 30s, the entire Disney and Marvel library, and more. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNNewYorkBundle.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The game everybody's watching. The game everybody's paying attention to. Consumed with. It's been the talk of the world for the last 4 months. And it probably has no more than a minute left in it. Because, again, we don't know actually when it's going to end because of the stoppage time. But it looks like, if you want to take it as a victory, it looks like the United States has accomplished just that. Because it looks like this one is going to end 0-0 against England. Wow. And I think you got to be happy with this one. Like I said, I mean, anything can happen still, but the United States is going to have a free kick here, and there's probably less than a minute left. They're in the 94th minute. 4 minutes of stoppage time have been added on. So let's put it this way. I don't think we're going to lose, and maybe by some miracle we win, but it's going to be 0-0 in all probability.
I'm an American.
That's right. It's true. Also tonight, while we wait for this one to resolve itself, both basketball teams in action. Knicks home at 7:30 against Portland. Nets are going to be in Indiana to take on the Pacers. That comes up at 8 o'clock. Hockey, Devils will try to start a new winning streak. That 13-gamer ended on Wednesday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They'll be in Buffalo at 8 o'clock, and the game is over. 0-0 final. There you go. I'm happy about that. Real quick, the Islanders are in Columbus, 8 o'clock faceoff for them. That's Game Time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple-blended, triple-distilled, and triple-cask-matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Anthony, you got to give me the Hulk Hogan music. I mean, this is an American. This is a thing. There you go. Yeah. Little Rick Derringer for you. This is grounds for celebration. This is happy. This is a happy day. You know, people were expecting gloom and doom, right? We tied. We're neutral. We didn't win. We didn't lose.
That's a win and they're in situation there, Dan.
It's a win and they're in now, right?
Against
that's what
the
it
team
is.
You think should be. Now they just won 2-0 over the team you drew in the first game. But if you said that you would draw two games and all you needed to do was beat Iran to get out of the group, then you could take that if you're the United States, no?
1,000%. 1,000%. So here's the standings. The up to the minute. Up to the minute. Hot off the presses. Group B standings in the World Cup. England in first with 4 points. Then you have Iran in second with 3 points. United States is in third place with 2 points. And stuck on the bottom is Wales with 1. So 4-3-2-1. The top two teams advance. Here's what it comes down to, boys and girls. It comes down to United States against Iran. When is that game, Anthony? I want to say, is it it's Monday, right? I want to say Monday or Tuesday?
I think it's Tuesday.
Let's see. We can make that happen for you. Let's see. Tuesday. Stand by. This is live radio as we speak.
Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday. 2 o'clock on Tuesday against Iran. That is the one you circle. All United States has to do is win the game, and they are advancing into the knockout stage. That's all they've got to do. A simple win against Iran. Do we have a line on that one yet, Anthony? When do you think we're going to have a line available?
Oh, I think very shortly. I honestly.
I mean, right? Our buddies on FanDuel or something, can we get a live line? But this is actually a joyous day. I told you, I'm going to win the bet with my buddy over in the UK. He gave me the lifeline, the luxury of a draw. I got the draw. I win the bet. Yay! I think it's great that I'm actually sitting here taking credit for it like I did anything. Like I had anything to do with the outcome of this game.
We have the line, by the way.
What is it?
Our friends at Caesars say USA is minus 106 on the money line, plus 235 for a draw, plus 300. For Iran. So they're favored.
Let me tell you something. I've been doing this thing a long time now.
Sure.
I would be stunned. Stunned. If we don't take care of business against Iran. Stunned, I tell you. On Tuesday. Not that I have any inside information other than the fact that let us have one. Right? Like, it's been long. You know, like, maybe this makes up for not qualifying for the World Cup 4 years ago. We deserve this. We need this. It means more to us. I'm literally just talking out of my you-know-what right now, but I'm trying to justify the fact that I don't want the World Cup to end for the United States on Tuesday. That's what I'm saying. You know, Iran got England embarrassed Iran. It looked like the varsity against JV back on Monday. We can't lose to that team. I don't care that they beat Wales. We should have beat Wales. But this is a happy day. An American holiday, Thanksgiving, the day after. You know what your leftovers were? It was the United States tying England. 0-0. How about that? And they were the better team. You know, if this was like the boxing match and the judges had to sit there and score it a certain way, United States were the better team today. We would get the split decision. Too bad that doesn't work, though, in soccer. All right, hey, you know, we'll take some soccer calls. How many people are enlifted by this? Love it. Plus, we'll also get into the Jets. They're rolling with a new quarterback on Sunday, namely Mike White. What's that going to mean moving forward? Dan Grasso, in for the guys on TMKS. You know where you are. 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.